MyLowe's Pro Rewards members. Save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is made possible by SelfDefenseProductsDepot.com. Give yourself or someone you love the extra level of protection they deserve with non-lethal protection products. Find out more at SelfDefenseProductsDepot.com.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And that indeed it is. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again for another frightfully ghost-filled episode of our little program here, Real Ghost Stories Online. How are you doing this fine day?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. I was excited to see new technology when we went out to lunch today.
Okay.
At the Olive Garden.
Oh, yeah.
They have those little computers at your table now, or little tablets, mm-hmm. and you can press buttons and order food and do all sorts. How often do you think they have to send food back to the kitchen because the kids got a hold of it and started ordering, like, all this food, and they didn't, the parents were like, we didn't order 10 appetizers or all of the, you know.
I could see that being a problem, especially with dessert.
Because they try and give the kids the thing to use to play with.
Mm-hmm.
I could totally see them, you know. If you're over the age of, you know, 5, maybe even younger, you can navigate those pretty well beyond the games to go, oh, yeah, food. Let's do that, too.
Cake. Cake's always a good one.
Cake is my favorite game.
Mm-hmm.
That would be. Here, play Angry Birds, little Jimmy, while mommy and daddy talk. And all of a sudden, you have like 5 pies coming to the table.
Oh, gosh.
That was exciting to see something new.
Yeah.
At a restaurant. Anywho. That's the excitement of my day, by the way. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's kind of like the time we asked our littlest one where she wanted to go and have dinner. The pink restaurant. And we didn't know what the pink restaurant was. And she eventually pointed her way to it by going, you know, go this way, go that way. She knows her way around town and she's 3. I think she was 2 at two and a half
yeah,
or so.
Newly 2.
When she was doing this. And she pointed her way to a bakery.
For cupcakes.
For cupcakes. Yes. They know a lot. Let's kick off the show today. We have a lot of calls to get through with your real ghost stories. Of course, if you have one, we would love to hear it. You can call it in anytime you want at 855-853-4802. Let's go over here to Tammy in California. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Tammy from L.A. I called a while ago about the old, like, colonial house that was used in Animal House Halloween and a couple more horror stories and horror films, sorry. So I wanted to go ahead and tell you guys, actually, the place that I work, the stories and experiences that have been, like, circulating throughout the property or the conservatory itself. And it just so happens that I work at a conservatory in the heart of Hollywood that was once owned by Charlie Chaplin himself. And the conservatory is located right next door to Jim Henson's studio, which was way, way back in the day, the Charlie Chaplin Studios. Now, I've only been working at the conservatory for about, I would say, almost 3 to 4 years. And the conservatory moved on the grounds 12 to 14 years ago, and it's a pretty, you know, it's a pretty old school. Nothing has been updated, especially the bungalows that are located on the ground. And it just so happens that those bungalows were the living quarters of Charlie himself. Between the years of 1915 to 1920 or 27, Charlie Chaplin owned, you know, the Charlie Chaplin studios that are now Jim Henson, and he built and lived right next to those studios in his bungalows. So the guy would wake up, walk out, and cross the street just to go to work. How convenient is that, especially here in Los Angeles? So I wanted to call and let you guys know that Charlie himself still roams those grounds. And I know that there's been a lot of those paranormal shows that investigate the Jim Henson studios, and he still, and I know it's still documented to this day that he still roams both locations, both the studios and the conservatory. So there were a couple of little stories that I wanted to share with you based on my experiences and the experiences of others that have probably heard or felt him around the grounds. So the first one is, I am a costume director at the conservatory, so my job is to coordinate, construct, and design costumes for the conservatory's performances. And I had a girl come in for a costume fitting, and it was me and three of my assistant student workers that were around helping me with the fitting. So we got to talking, and out of nowhere, we just started talking about the school and that, you know, it belonged to Charlie himself. And out of nowhere, the girl says, yeah, he's still here. You know, he's mainly felt in the library. And I looked up and I said, really? And she said, yeah, you know, I'm a bit of an intuitive. I could sense a lot of those things. And every time I go into the library, I sense a male presence and I know it's him. And I said, that's really crazy. She's like, yeah, because the library is actually the bungalow where he worked and he slept. And how the layout of the school goes is there's two bungalows that are on the location. And it's like a time warp. It looks like they haven't been touched or remodeled. They kept it quite good time period with a little upkeeping. And one of the bungalows is the library. And then the next bungalow is the green room where the actors converse and get ready for the shows that are connected with the other offices for the faculty and staff members. And there's a little breezeway that you can cross to go into the new addition, which is the theater. So she was telling me that the library, which is his living quarters, is where he's most felt. And she said, yeah, I get a bit of anxiety and anxiousness when I'm in the computer room, and it's the back room where the computer lab is located, and I have a feeling that that was his bedroom. So one of the girls, one of the assistants, mentions, oh, I don't believe in that. I don't think he's here. I think that's a bunch of BS. And a minute after she made that remark, the sensor to the back entrance or exit of the costume shop goes off, and the door closes shut all by itself. There is no one walking in and out of the back entrance because we were in full view of the exit and back entrance. And it's very rare, very, very, very rare that the sensor goes off, and you need some arm muscle and a bit of strength to close that back door because it's held open with a magnet. So there's this huge magnet against the wall that kind of connects with another magnet that holds onto the back of the door. So when I close at night, I'm always having to pull that door away from the magnet to close for the rest of the night. And all four of us just kind of stood there in the middle of the shop, just looking at the back entrance. And out of nowhere, the girl tells me, yeah, that was him. He's making himself known. Another story that happened was with my former assistant. She would come into the shop, and she would always open the shop around 8:15 to 8:30 just to come kind of help me out when I would do my errands in the morning, go pick up fabric or whatnot. Well, she arrived one morning at 8:15 to just kind of open the shop, read emails, and make some coffee. And we have a little bit of a kitchen nook in the back of the shop. And she was back there making coffee, and she said in the corner of her eye, she could have sworn she saw someone walking back and forth in the hallway. And she called out my name, and there was no response. And she said that she was the only one in that room, the only one in that area, because no one from the props department and from the other rooms were there that morning. It was just her. So I walk in around 9:15, 9:30, and she, you know, pulls me aside. She's like, I'm thinking I'm probably going to come in a little later because I'm getting a little freaked out. This morning, I thought you were here with me, and I could have sworn that I saw someone walking back and forth down the hallway. And when I called out your name, nobody answered. And I kind of could, you know, relate to what she was saying, because there are times where I would close the costume shop. I'm the last one to leave. And there are times where I feel like I'm being watched or there's someone else there with me. Even when I'm completely alone in that area, I do feel like there is a presence. I don't feel like it's anything that's threatening, but I just feel like somebody's watching me. So I was working with the director of the company, and we got to talking, and she brought up Charlie himself. And she was telling me, oh, I see him around here. Like, it's nothing. Like, they're friends. And she was telling me that the biggest scare that she had was one night she was closing the theater, like always. She's always the last to leave in her department. And she usually leaves the school between 9 to 10, 10 o'clock at night. And she has an office in one of the bungalows that is connected to the theater. So she was closing up, and every night before she leaves, she always checks the theater just to make sure everything's in its place, the lights are off, and the doors are locked. So she locks up all the doors in the back, checks the stage, makes sure everything's arranged, and as she goes to the entrance to lock up and turn off the lights, she notices this dark figure with a hat standing stage left by one of the curtains. And she's standing there completely stunned, because she's like, I'm looking at this thing that's standing right there by this curtain, and then it disappeared. And she's like, I know damn well that I'm the only one there. I'm always the only one and the last one to leave, and nobody else is there but me. But the craziest part was the fact that the thing disappeared in front of her. So she said she turned off the lights, slammed the door, and raced to her car after that night. But she still says that to this day, when she leaves or when she's walking around the theater, she still sees him. And that he is a bit of a jokester. And he does play little tricks every now and then around the campus. And that he's still on the grounds. She still feels him. She still sees a dark figure or a figure of a man, like around the theater and around the bungalows. So that's my story, and the stories of others that have experienced the ghost of Charlie Chaplin himself. I have more Hollywood ghostly tales. If you'd like to hear them, let me know, especially being on more haunted film sets and haunted theaters. I love sharing them. Thank you guys so much for everything that you guys do. It's because of you and everyone else that shares their stories that I sleep with a nightlight on. Much love to you both, and talk to you soon. Bye.
That's a very interesting story.
It is. You know, we've had other listeners say that they've been contacted by spirits of famous people, but we've never had a listener call in that's actually been working in a place that was owned by somebody as famous as Charlie Chaplin. And, you know, I can actually kind of guess that that might be him.
I believe, and I could be completely wrong, but I believe I've heard stories like this before from this same place, whether it be on some ghost show. I couldn't tell you when or where, but I believe I've heard the Charlie Chaplin story from other folks too.
Okay.
That he's a fairly common character that people tend to see around Hollywood.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's it's interesting. Do you think he did he look the way he looked in film outside of film, or was it always just his look on camera? Did he still keep that appearance up off camera? I don't know much about Charlie Chaplin, to be completely honest.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a similarity, but, you know, the exaggerated, like, eye makeup
sure.
and paleness for the camera, I'm sure that he probably looked similar without his makeup on.
The same hats and the same mustache and everything? Or did he go like all Johnny Depp where it's like you don't recognize him from time to time? It's like, holy shit, that's Charlie Chaplin? Looks like a pirate from the Caribbean.
I have no idea.
Very good story. And yes, we would love to hear more experiences from there. So please do call in or write them in. We would absolutely love to hear more. Hey, the breaking of a window pane, the sight, the sound of someone being assaulted, not sights and sounds anyone would like to experience. Maybe you've been in a dangerous situation yourself. If so, give yourself or someone you love an extra level of protection with non-lethal protection products from selfdefenseproductsdepot.com. It's products with an S. Your ultimate online security store. It's selfdefenseproductsdepot.com. You can choose from a large assortment of defensive products to fit your every need. Stun guns, pepper sprays, personal alarms, home protection, surveillance systems, hidden cameras, and more. The hidden cameras thing always is appealing, I think, because of what we talk about on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, hey, yes, you're also protecting yourself from humans, but you may find some extra things on those cameras as well. Crimes and everyday occurrence in this world at selfdefenseproductsdepot.com. You can find the level of protection that you need at an affordable price. Visit them online today and get your free gift. Register for your free gift when you go to selfdefenseproductsdepot.com. And it's really this cool, it's like this little credit card thing, but it's a complete like utility knife, you know, like a... parts of it break off. It's a great thing to have in your wallet.
Oh, that is cool.
And if you don't like want to carry around like, you know, a knife itself, mm-hmm. this thing, it has all of those features, but it's the size of a credit card. And when you need it, you break the parts off and it's handy and it's, you know, fairly thick. It's thicker than a credit card. So it can work for a lot of things. Get your free gift there. Why not provide yourself or someone you love that extra level of protection the safe and non-lethal way? Get the extra level of protection that you need at selfdefenseproductsdepot.com. Visit them online today. Some rules and restrictions may apply. The phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller here and hear this real ghost story. Hi.
Hi, Real Ghost Stories Online. I really like listening to the show, and I've been thinking about calling for a while. I'm not sure when Ouija Awareness is, but I thought maybe, yeah, you'd want to use my story if you do that kind of a theme show anyways. I don't know where to begin. I'm not a superstitious person. I've never really been super into the paranormal. Never really have anything against it either. I'm a spiritual person. I'm pretty open-minded, but I always discouraged my kids from getting involved with anything like horror movies weren't allowed, and trick or treat was fine and all that. But I always had an aversion to occult stuff in general because I didn't want my kids to grow up and like be goth like the Columbine kids or whatever, I don't know, but I didn't allow that in my home. Anyway, my teenage son came home with a Ouija board, and I freaked out. No way, you're not having it, and get rid of it, take it back wherever you got it. And you know, like most teenage boys, you kind of, you know, shrugged and laughed and pretended to obey me, but I guess that he didn't. And I had recently gotten divorced. I was working a lot of extra shifts to try to make ends meet, and I just wasn't around, you know, in some of the evenings. And I guess he and his friends were using the Ouija board. And I'm not sure if it has anything to do with anything, but we were renting a farmhouse that was next to a big pond. And they say that, you know, water is a conductor or whatever. And I started to hear things like, the frogs would all stop chirping all suddenly, and all the crickets just stopped chirping. And then it would get eerily quiet, and then I would hear the horses, and they would be, like, running and making these neighing sounds like they were frightened or whatever, and just really restless. And I don't know a whole lot about animals. I thought maybe it could be wild dogs in the neighborhood or something like that, so... I didn't think a lot of it, but then it started to get worse. Like there started to be a knocking on the door, and it would happen at 3 o'clock in the morning, first it was like once or twice, and then it started to be several times a week. And the, we rented a farmhouse on this property where there were tenants on the first floor, and we were on the second and third floor. So you would have to actually go through a locked door and up a flight of stairs to be able to physically to knock on my door. And I had a peephole, and I would run, and I would look. I wouldn't see anybody on the stairs. I wouldn't see that the lock had been opened or tampered with. And the outside lights, the motion sensor lights, never got triggered, never went on. So, you know, I didn't know what to chalk it up to. Then my keys started to be missing, like, it, all the time. And I got a special hook and everything because it was weird how my keys would go missing all the time. Then the TV started to cut on all by itself, and the phone would ring, and no one would be there. And we reported to the phone company, and they, you know, they wouldn't even have any record of anybody calling. But it did ring, and there was no one there. And then my son started to really change. And he was an honor student. He had a lot of friends. He was very outgoing into sports and had a nice girlfriend and everything. And suddenly, he just changed into another person. He was very withdrawn, very depressed. He was not socializing at all. And he lost a lot of weight, like 60 pounds in 2 months. So I didn't know what to do. I brought him, of course, right to his physician, and I didn't know if he had gotten into drugs or what was going on. And finally he admitted that he was staying up all night and using this Ouija board, and he didn't want to give it up. I mean, he wouldn't tell me where it was. He wouldn't, he kept promising he would get rid of it, but, you know, he, I never saw him get rid of it. And I heard burn them because you can release spirits or something. So I really didn't, wouldn't have known what to do with it if I found it, but I never could. But anyway, here we are 6 years later, and my son now is in his 20s. He lives on the streets. He reads tarot cards for tourists and tells fortunes and things like that, and plays his guitar for money, and he's just a show of the person that, you know, that I knew, the person that I raised and gave birth to. I mean, he's just not the same person. And I don't know, I wonder, did he get possessed by this spirit or whatever he conjured up with this Ouija board? And so I just wanted to leave this as a cautionary tale, so that other parents, when they see these Ouija boards, you know, on the shelves at the toy store and everything, and they think it might be a cute little Halloween gift, that they do, they can open up, I don't know, gateways or whatever, to really horrible, bad things. And, you know, it did for our family. So I continue to, you know, I give him as much love and support as I possibly can, and I pray for him. And I, you know, I just pray that one day, you know, he'll choose the light over the darkness, and that he'll have a really rewarding life, because these things that these kids get involved with, and even some adults get involved with, they can have really long-lasting tragic effects. So I just wanted to leave that with you so that maybe you could use my experience to help others. All right, I really love the show, and keep on doing what you're doing. Bye for now, everybody.
Thanks for sharing your story with us here on the show. That can't be easy to go through, watching your son essentially kind of implode and self-destruct like that. Now, I'm guessing there's probably more than one thing going on here, and she didn't really allude to it, but I wonder if anything was ever intervened as far as, you know, psychological help and mental health counseling, because there's probably a lot of that at play here, too. And I'm not, you know, discounting the you know, negativity thing here with paranormal, but usually the two go hand in hand.
Sure, and she mentioned that she did take him to see his regular doctor, maybe a pediatrician at the time.
Sure.
But I would think that any doctor would possibly suggest getting tested.
Yeah, and once you get to, I mean, obviously at a certain age, and he's an adult, that's, you know, the way our system in this country works is he pretty much needs to go on his own. Or, I mean, he can reject it, too. He can say, no, I don't want the, you know, the help.
Sure.
And of course, it's not always free either. In fact, it's rarely ever free. It's one of those things where I hope he can get the help that he needs, because my guess is there's some mental health issues at play here, and probably something else that, you know, maybe triggered some of this too, or is still festering at the same time.
You know, it almost sounds like an addiction.
Yeah.
And, you know, that does fall in the gamut.
Sure.
Of mental health issues.
Sure.
And, you know, when he's devoting that much time to it, it's beyond his control at that point.
So
whether there's a possession or not.
Yeah, it's one of those things where hopefully if he can get the help that he needs, you know, in the mental health department, sometimes then that can help to rectify everything else when he's getting himself right there to slip out of the other area as well, back into something good. I hope things do work out for you. The phone number here is 855-853-4802. That's our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We would love to hear your story of the paranormal. Lots of ways to get it to us. And of course, if you like the show, if you're new to the show, you press subscribe. Whatever platform it is you listen to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, you name it, we're on everything. Press subscribe. Helps us grow in the rankings, and you get all the latest episodes of the show as we do them. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Belle from Norfolk, Virginia again. I'm actually going to be calling in and keep it a little bit busy, because I found out if I don't, I have a tendency to ramble and overexpress myself in the stories, and it just makes it sound too, I don't know, it doesn't sound good to me, at least when I hear you played on your show. So, but first off, Tony, I want to say you've absolutely made my life revolve around Online Ghost Stories and the Trailer Park Boys with all the references, because now I know everything about Sunnyvale and Ricky and Bubbles and thank you for taking over my life with these two things, Tony. You have absolutely ruined me, but still, thanks for somewhat occupying my time with something that's at least almost as entertaining as your show. But on a side note, I did have a story to tell you. It actually happened, I think, 2 days ago. Normally, before I go to work, I wake up and I go to the gym. Like 5:30, 6 in the morning, something like that, because I work out twice a day sometimes. And this one morning, I decided to say, screw it, I'm going to stay in bed. My alarm goes off, and it's my phone, so I already know what button to hit because the screen goes up. Well, you can pretty much just slap the damn thing, and it'll turn off, no issue. So I do that, tuck it underneath my pillow, and let out this big, almost guttural sigh of, ugh. Well, I can either wake up or I could stay in bed. And obviously this morning I decided to stay in bed, even though I probably should have left after this situation. I live in a studio apartment and with wood floors, and it's an older place, but I've been here for a little over a year now, and I have two rabbits and a cat. Generally, people that live in a place that has wood floors or just linoleum or something like that, it has a tendency to make a lot more noise than it would carpet, and especially if you've been living in a location that has something like that, wood floors or just a hard surface all over the place, you can distinguish noises and what they are. Even out of a dead sleep, my rabbits won't wake me up because I know what they sound like. My cat won't wake me up. I know what she sounds like. But this morning, as my eyes are closed and I'm getting ready to nod back off to sleep because I'm automatically going to wake up for at least an hour and a half to get ready for work, no worries, I hear something that sounds like cowboy boots. And you know how cowboy boots, the nice ones, have generally the higher heel, so it makes that clicking noise, kind of not like the high heels, though. It sounded like this elongated stepping of cowboy boots came up through my living room, which is the main entrance, walked through the kitchen, through to the bunny room, just at these long steps, and stopped right beside my bed. And at first, I'm just thinking, oh, it's probably the rabbits, but then I stop and I analyze that noise, and I'm like, bunnies don't make that type of noise. I was born up in Pennsylvania. I know what cowboy boots sound like, especially on any surface. I was raised in them. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, you know what? Let me just hold my breath and see if maybe my breathing's just getting in the way, or maybe I can hear something that the bunnies are making a sound that's somewhat similar, because I'm trying to disprove myself, because A, I just woke up. B, bunnies make noises. Don't get me wrong. They're not the quietest of things, especially when you bring them indoors. So I'm just trying to disprove myself. But as I'm lying in bed and I hold my breath, I just hear this loud breathing. And it's not like open mouth breathing, but I had this feeling of a male entity breathing through his nose, his face like cheek level to mine, still in bed. I could hear the breathing even though my breath was held. So I don't know what got into me, but it was just one of those points of, I don't know if I was mad because for the first time in forever I was trying to get to sleep. I don't know why this thing was in my apartment, because I'm not screwing around with Ouija boards, tarot cards, anything of the sort like that. And I've been living here for over a year. Nothing strange has happened. So I'm not expecting anything of the sort like this to happen. So maybe because I was a little bit pissed off that I had to wake up and was still awake, and this thing, whatever it was in my house. I just remember getting mad and sitting up, jolting out of bed, my eyes still closed, because I did want to wake up in the first place, feet still underneath the sheets. I snapped my head over, opened my eyes, and there was nothing there. I know I probably should have been absolutely terrified, because I have in no doubt in my mind this happened. I even went to work and I thought about it over and over, and I still haven't told any of my coworkers who dabble in some of it, not really dabble, but have had experience in it. And I don't know. But needless to say, it happened to me the other day, and I kind of want to know what you guys think. It's somewhat of an older house, but it's been a year and a half since I've been here, so I just don't know. So I just want to hear what you guys have to say. Maybe if you have some input on it, because I know old houses, sometimes there can be residual energy, but after this long and in cowboy boots, I don't know. Well, anyway, I love your guys' show, and thank you for absolutely ruining my life with the Trailer Park Boys, because now I'm just utterly obsessed with you guys and that show. And hopefully hear this on your show later. Keep up the great work, guys. You guys are awesome. Okay, bye-bye.
It's fun being a bad influence on people.
Yeah, you're big-time bad influence.
It's a great show.
It is a good show.
It's just, you know, it is the junk food of television, and you just kind of can't stop watching the train wreck.
Right.
That it is. So what do you think of her situation?
I think it's just simply a spirit passing through.
Okay.
I mean, there's really no logical explanation as to why all of a sudden, mm-hmm. after almost a year, this is going on. So I'd be willing to bet that it's going to stop as quickly as it started.
Sure. And that tends to happen a lot. Sometimes people are really expecting full-blown, this is going to be The Conjuring Part 3, mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that was just passing through.
Yeah.
And consider yourself lucky if that's all it is.
Right.
You know, so it could be much worse. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Chris from Provo again. I called the other day regarding a funny Halloween story that was kind of spooky to begin with, but it ended up pretty funny. So, anyway, I'm calling because I was thinking, it's Halloween, and there was a couple of haunted house stories that I had experienced or just basically happening around my family when I was growing up. My grandmother, her house was a very old house, and I don't know, I can't remember who built it or anything, but when I was a little kid, I've always, with my brother, we had always hated visiting Grandma, not because Grandma was evil or anything. Grandma was really great, but her house was dark and scary. It was a really big house. It has a front and a back entrance, upstairs and downstairs as well, so there was a there was a front entrance on the downstairs, so front and back, and then the upstairs just one huge floor, and it is made out of a black wood, and it was painted green inside. It was just really scary when we were growing up. My grandmother had lived with my uncle and his family. So they kind of moved in and lived with her, my uncle, meaning her son. So anyway, well, a little background about my grandma. She's she came from a line of nobility, Chinese nobility from China, and she was, well, I think her great grandma was one of the concubines for the last, one of the last emperors of China during the Qing Dynasty. So she was kind of a Manchurian lineage. And well, anyway, when she moved out of China, I think there was an entourage that came with her. And this is just all the stories I heard after she died. So this was all, you know, the stories that I heard about her from my aunt and dad and all kinds of people, relatives and stuff. So they knew about the whole family line and all the great stuff. So she was kind of royalty. But so anyway, during the revolution, stuff like that, they had moved out of China for to save the fortunes or whatever, and they had their family history book and whatnot. So basically, she left China with, I'd say, quote unquote, an entourage. So it came with like a nanny, servants, governesses, and all kinds of Chinese people, royalty has. So anyway, that this kind of background would come very, I think it would be very helpful to understand the haunting. So anyway, my grandma was actually betrothed to a man, you know, during the olden times. She had to marry to secure a position. So she had married my grandpa, who was like probably about 20 years or her senior. So she was maybe 16 when she got married, and my grandpa was probably about 30, 40, going to 40. So, and my grandpa was a doctor, and he had, you know, he practiced at a clinic, but he also practiced at home. So that was the house that he practiced in. So he was such a great doctor outside of his clinic time or his hospital time, that he would administer people in his house upstairs. And there was a room which was just right next to my grandma's room. And I heard that many people had died there, because it was, he would administer to people who actually wouldn't be able to afford going to the hospital during the, like, the 50s or whatever, 40s. And a lot of people died there. But when I was growing up, that room has always been a mystery. It was always locked, and it was bolted from the outside, of course. And it was just, it was always a mystery around this room. And we were always talking about hauntings, even when we were a kid, we were kids, but we, you know, it was just among us, cousins and stuff, like the parents wouldn't allow it. But my grandma says that she had locked the door because there was no use for it, and it had been used to administer people before. A lot of people had died in there, so she didn't really, you know, she's too superstitious, but she didn't let those bother him. So bother her. So she was just basically, she locked the door, and it, that was it. So basically, when she died, we were all convened at the house. Well, when I was growing up, I hated going upstairs to that room, or upstairs at all, because that whole, you know, hospital, quote, administering room was there, and then grandma's room was next to it, and then there was a guest room and whatnot. But upstairs was just really creepy. Downstairs was fine, because most people like sit and eat downstairs, and there's a lot of people. But during the funeral, we were taking out some of the things that my grandmother had kept through her life from her closet, and all of her children were there, and we were looking through old pictures, and then my aunt, who was actually the one living in the house with her, we were going through those pictures together, and there were a lot of black and white pictures way back taken in China. Like, there were, like, pictures of, like, you know, ancient rulers, like, kings and emperors and queens and stuff, and because they're all related, so they took all the pictures that they had. And so one of the pictures was my grandma when she was a little girl. I think she was probably about 2-3 years old, and she was surrounded by these women, nobilities, and they were all in these Manchurian Qing dynasty garbs. And if you've watched The Last Emperor of China, you kind of picture that kind of an era. And but a little bit more modern, of course, but they kept the tradition and they just dressed up like that during festivities, whatever. And then my aunt, who was living there, was a little shocked. She looked really pale and she was really creeped out because she was saying that one of the women in that picture, which was a black and white picture, she had seen that woman constantly in the house, and it was the haunting that nobody wants to believe. But she was talking to everybody for the first time, and she was like, I've seen this, and she was the one who's always upstairs. And so anyway, that was creepy. We all like looked at each other. We were still upstairs. It was like outside our grandma's room, which was next to the room that was locked and bolted, and it was really scary at that time. And she was like, okay, so I'll describe this lady. She was wearing white. So she was one of the servants and governesses, and she had her hair combed all the way back. And this is like ancient Chinese women. And they had she had a high forehead, and she had a bun at the back. So, and she wore these loose black pants and white shirts. So she would never marry. And these kind of, we call them amas. They would actually be loyal to the family and follow the family wherever they go. They wouldn't marry and they will still stay single until they die. And they're kind of like a part of the family. So, but the interesting thing is this ama has already died when my grandma was really young. So she was already old at that time from the picture. So, and the thing is, how did this ama actually moved out of China, her ghost, or was that really her? So that was really interesting. And then there was another entity that my aunt had seen, because, you know, she lived in the house, so she's seen a lot of things. And she also said that she saw another lady who didn't look like a servant woman, like the ama, but she looked more like a regal woman. And I think that when she described it, one of my aunts said, oh, yeah, I think that what you're describing fits my father's first wife. Well, during the days, you know, guys can marry more than, especially Chinese people. So anyway, this... So the first wife of my grandfather apparently had appeared to me as well, so she was really creeped out. But in any way...
And it dies.
And that's it. That's a lot of history there.
What do you think of the experiences?
I don't think I'd be all that cool with grandfather's doctor's office there in the house. You know, it's not like everybody's just going to go... sit down on the couch and talk. Yeah. This is more like administering medical attention.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be okay with that.
It's up there.
Yeah, and it's kind of unusual that a lot of the spirits that they saw were not actually probably people that had medical stuff worked on there. You know, they were people that came along with the grandmother when she came over from China. But they're still there. But you've got to wonder, maybe some of those people that died in the office are still there too.
You have to wonder too, some of it's feeding off of the energy that was in that office. You know, I mean, that could not necessarily be the patients themselves, but other spirits feeding off of the anxiety on all of the things that go along with being in a doctor's office.
Yeah,
especially, you know, back in the day, where, you know, things weren't as, you know, I guess, you know, routine things were a lot more complex.
Right.
Years ago, where, it, you know, a routine thing today that may be completely painless, and I'm not going to like name a specific procedure or anything like that, but what may have been horrifically painful a long time ago, now maybe not so much in some cases. And so, you know, the anxiety level of just a generalized doctor visit, very different from one point to another. So I would think that that could certainly be playing into that. Thanks for the story. We really do appreciate that. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. And, of course, as we always say, if you enjoy this show, enjoy the program, please consider helping us keep it on the air. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person. You sign up for that on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to Latasha in Texas. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Latasha, and I live in Texas. A friend turned me on to your show. I've been listening for about a week and a half. So I do have a lot to catch up on. Sorry if it's loud. I'm at work on my break. And it had to do with a story that I was talking about on Facebook that I submitted to another show. So I decided to share it with you guys. And this has to do with a house that I was living in, or that I'm currently living in with my husband. And at the time we were just dating, this was about 2010. And it has to do with a dog that we had. This dog was in my husband's family since he was in his late teens, and the dog passed away. We had to have him put down, unfortunately. So my whole family knew about the dog. He was really good with the kids, and after a while, the kids noticed that we didn't have a pet anymore. Well, about sometime November, I think it might have been maybe a year after he passed, my sister came to stay with me, and she had her 1.5-year-old son. She was spending the weekend because we were going to throw her a baby shower, so I wanted to get some shopping and things done. So she was staying with us. So it was a Saturday morning. It was a late Saturday, probably around 11. We had just finished breakfast. Excuse me. We had just finished eating breakfast, and I was playing with my nephew. My husband was outside smoking a cigarette. My sister was on the computer in the living room. So I was just playing around with my nephew, chasing him around the house and stuff. And then he starts to go into my bedroom, which he knew he could always play in there. I had no issues with him playing in the room. But all of a sudden, he stops in the doorway, and he looks to his right. In the right corner of that room, we had a huge rocking chair. And he just stopped. So I went up to him to nudge him. And I said, it's okay, you can go in and play. And when I did that, he turned around, he started screaming, and he jumped in my arms, and he was crying. So my sister came running, and she was asking what happened. So I tried to explain it to her. I started to explain to her what happened, and he just was sitting there. He didn't want to play. He didn't want to laugh or anything. Sorry about the noise. And so I said, go ahead and just take him in the room, let him calm down. And then I told my husband what happened too. So after a few minutes, we let him calm down. We took him back in the room. And my sister said, show me what happened. So she starts walking with him towards the corner of the room. And he did the same thing. He started screaming. He turned around. He jumped in her arms. So they left the room. My husband says, well, you know, this is where Wizard used to lay when he would come in our room. So when my husband walked over to that part of the room, he felt really lightheaded. He just had a weird feeling. So he decided to pull out a picture of the dog and show it to my nephew to see if that's what happened. So we gave him the picture. He comes back in the room, and he's looking at the picture. He's looking at the rocking chair like he's comparing something. He looks back at the picture. He looks back at the rocking chair. And then out of nowhere, he says, dog, Wizard, and he points at the rocking chair and he looks at us, and we said, oh my gosh, he sees Wizard. So it freaked us out a little bit. So I said, why don't we just go get some shopping done and just forget about this whole thing? So we went ahead, we went shopping, we called our family, my mom, my sister, my brother, told everybody what happened, and we came back. And then as we were getting on the computer after shopping, the computer desktop had a picture of our dog Wizard. And when the computer came up, my nephew looks at the computer and he says, doggy mad. So I don't know what you guys think that means, but I don't know why the dog would have been mad at him or upset. He was always really good with the kids. Maybe my nephew was just scared because he knew we didn't have a dog to begin with. So I'd just like to know what you guys' thoughts are. I hope this gets played. If not, I understand because of all the noise that was in the background. I will call back and I can retell it, but I have some other ones that I will call back with as well. Love the show. Bye.
I think you have kids, and they tend to be very honest.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be telling you exactly what they're thinking and what they're feeling. So I think you got to kind of take that at its word. It doesn't sound like something a kid would make up, you know, for getting a rise out of a parent or anything like that. They're just conveying what they see or what they feel.
Well, especially a kid that young. And, you know, when they're that little, they have a hard time telling if somebody's mad or sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the dog's actually sad and not mad.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I kind of think maybe that, you know, the dog would be happy that you guys went ahead and did put him down since he wouldn't be in pain anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it might be sad that he can't be there. So.
Sure.
And it's just the way that the child is seeing that.
I think the child the child is experiencing and seeing, or one or the other, something that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your answer. So thank you for sharing that story with us. Hi.
Hi, guys. My name is Adelie. I just recently graduated college in Maine, and I wanted to share a story with you. And this one particularly stands out because every time that I've ever seen anything, and then I've been seeing things since I was little. My mom has told me that I wake up crying and I'm pointing out things that I could never have known existed before me. This story stands out because I vividly remember it in my college dorm. I had one other roommate in our dorms that are super tiny, super tiny. And we both had twin size beds, and we were across from each other. We weren't bunk beds. We took out the bunk beds. And it was getting late and we were going to bed, and we both went to bed at the same time, so we shut off the lights. And my roommate's name is Catherine. And so we had just shut off the lights, and I wear contacts. So I took out my contacts and I'm laying down. And I said, and Catherine and I were just doing some pillow talk, and, you know, finally it got quiet and we went to bed. And then maybe I would say about a minute later, I turned around to face where her bed was, and I wore contacts, and so I saw this black figure standing at the edge of her bed. And I thought it was her looking in on her shelf. We had shelves right above at the foot of our bed. So I thought it was her maybe grabbing something, and I just said, "Hey, Catherine, what are you doing? What are you grabbing?" And she said, "Adelie, nothing. I'm laying in bed." And I said, "Oh, okay, never mind." And I turned around, and I didn't tell her anything because I didn't want to freak her out or anything, but I just remember seeing a black shadow, and I can tell it was a male. I don't know why I can tell gender of these shadows, and I can never see real features, but I can just tell by the body shape and things like that, and it was a male staring down looking at my roommate, Catherine. And I don't like to talk to them. They're never threatening. All the people, all the shadows I see are never threatening. They're just kind of watching, more, you know, curious and inquisitive and things like that. It's never anything threatening. I've only encountered one threatening spirit in my entire life. I'm 22, so it seems like I've been living forever. But no, I'm 22, and I've only encountered one threatening spirit, but that's another story. So I just want to let you guys know that that story was super creepy. I got freaked out, and I got chills when I saw that shadow standing over at the, it was standing on her bed. So that kind of stood out to me because I've never seen them, like, they're always standing on the ground, but I saw this shadow on her bed. Yeah, I love your guys' show. I just tuned in yesterday, actually. I'm like halfway into one of your first episodes, and I just had to call and share my story because you guys are awesome. I'd love to hear what you guys think about it. Thanks.
Sounds like a shadow person. But I don't know why it would be on the bed.
Because they can go anywhere.
Yeah.
They can go anywhere. They can be anything. They can, you know, people think they're garbage bags sometimes. And it's just one of those things where, I mean, there's not specific, I think, restrictions or sets of rules to quote unquote shadow people.
Did she mention a bunk bed in the beginning of the story?
I think she said bunk bed, but she said it's not a bunk bed.
Okay.
Just to clarify to us, because she knows, so that kind of perks up my ears like a dog. Suddenly, it's a bunk bed. You know, that's kind of how I get. Like, ooh, possession bunk bed story. What could possibly be better? But still interesting.
It is.
Drink now. I was reading on Facebook, somebody said, you should create a drinking game every time Tony says interesting. And I said, I completely agree.
Oh my gosh, people would be so wasted.
Yeah, because I do say that a lot. It's one of those things where as I kind of self-air check myself going through the show, I'm well aware that's a crutch of mine, that I say that word far too much. I need to get like some sort of collar for me, and every time I say it, it shocks me.
Uh-huh.
Then I will learn not to say that word anymore.
Well, you always say it twice. You always go, interesting, interesting story. It's like, okay, two shots right there.
People will be gone by the... They'd have alcohol poisoning by the time the show is over. Mm-hmm. So I don't suggest playing that that game with the show, but I will work on that one. All right, that wraps up today's show. If you like the show, please consider becoming an EPP, Extra Podcast Person, helping us to keep the show on the air. $5 a month is all we ask. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, 60-some of those for you. Exclusive video content that a brand new program we're putting out there every single week as well. Check out the other new video feature, Talking Ghosts. Episode 1 is up right now. There'll be more of those on the way as well. So lots of extras for being an EPP. And we thank you for doing that. And if you already are one, thank you very much. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.